Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading this morning from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 23, Text 29. Ritu Maharaj is going back to Godhead.
Maitreya Uvacha Suvastishu Amarastrishu Patilokam Gatavaduhu Yamba Atma Vidam Doryo Vainya Prapachutashrayaha.
Translation. The great sage Maitreya continued speaking, "My dear Vidura, when the wives of the denizens of heaven were thus talking amongst themselves, Queen Archie reached the planet of her husband, Prithu Maharaj, the topmost self-realized soul had attained, or the planet which her husband, Prithu Maharaj, the topmost self-realized soul had attained." This is a very interesting purport, so I'm sure you'll listen very carefully. Very interesting points Prabhupada is making. According to Vedic scriptures, a woman who dies with her husband or enters into the fire in which her husband is burning also enters the same planet where her husband attains. In this material world, there is a planet known as Patiloka, just as there is a planet known as Pitriloka. But in this verse, the word Patiloka does not refer to any planet within this material universe, for Prithu Maharaj, being topmost amongst self-realized souls, certainly returned home back to Godhead and attained one of the Vaikuntha planets. Queen Archie also entered Patiloka. But this planet is not in the material universe, for she actually entered the planet which her husband attained. In the material world also, when a woman dies with her husband, she again unites with him in the next birth. Similarly, Maharaj Prithu and Queen Archie united in the Vaikuntha planets. In the Vaikuntha planets, there are husbands and wives. But there's no question of their giving birth to children or having sex life. In the Vaikuntha planets, both husbands and wives are extraordinarily beautiful. And they are attracted to one another, but they do not enjoy sex life. Indeed, they consider sex not to be very relishable because both the husband and wife are always absorbed in Krishna consciousness and in glorifying and chanting the glories of the Lord. And there's more. Next paragraph. According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, also, a husband and wife can turn the home into a place as good as Vaikuntha. You don't have to wait. Even while in this material world, being absorbed in Krishna consciousness, even in this world, husband and wife can live in Vaikuntha. Very simply. You'd like to know how? It sounds too simple. Wait till you hear. Simply by installing the deity of the Lord within the home and serving the deity according to the directions of the Shastras in this way, they will never feel the sex urge. That is the test of advancement in devotional service. One who is advanced in devotional service is never attracted by sex life. And as soon as one becomes detached from sex life and proportionately attached to the service of the Lord, he actually experiences living in the Vaikuntha planets. Last sentence. In the ultimate issue, there is actually no material world. Isn't that nice? But, oh. When one forgets the service of the Lord and engages himself in the service of his senses, he is said to be living in the material world. End of paragraph. Savastasha maras trishu pati lokam gata vadhu yamba atmavidam duryo vainya prapachutashrayaha. The great sage Maitreya continued speaking. My dear Vidura, when the wives of the denizens of heaven, they're referred to by this phrase, Amara, Strishu. Amara, there's Mara and Amara. Mara is death, and Amara is almost deathless. These the demigods are. They live for such a long time, they're referred to in that way. Amara. Strishu, Strishu. So they're appreciating not only that Prithu has gone back to Godhead, but the very faithful and chaste wife of Prithu has gone back to Godhead. My dear Vidura, when the wives of the denizens of heaven were thus talking amongst themselves, Queen Archie reached the planet which her husband, Maharaj Prithu, the topmost self-realized soul, had attained. He's Atma Vidam, topmost realized soul. So there's a number of fascinating features of this purport. Prabhupada says it twice. In this creation, there's a place that's called Patiloka. Patiloka, the planet where the husband has gone. And there's another place with a capital P, Patiloka, and that's the spiritual realm. Just as there's far more commonly referred to a place called Pitriloka, that's where the ancestors go, and one may worship the ancestors and go to the planet of the ancestors. What's that verse from Bhagavad Gita? According to the worship, you receive a corresponding destination. Pitrin loke pitirataha yanti deva vrata devan. So, if you worship the demigods, you may go to the planets of the demigods. So, this is the demigod wives speaking of Archie going to the planet of her beloved husband because she was so attached to and properly serving her husband. She went to that same place that he attained. This is the Vedic system. This is the Vedic system. Our system is the Pancharatrika system, which is within the Vedic system. And there are, it's fascinating. I heard a very scholarly presentation made by Gopi Pranadana Prabhu. Actually, it was made for the GBC. It was some request made of the Shastra Advisory Council to make some research on the process of Diksha, to understand in a more deep and scholarly way the process of Diksha. So one of our brilliant, brilliant scholars in ISKCON is Gopi Pranadana Prabhu, and he presented an explanation in which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and then following him, Srila Prabhupada, and following Srila Prabhupada ourselves, we follow where there's a blend of the Vedic system of Diksha and the Pancharatrika system of Diksha. Would you like to hear that? Simple. I'm not Gopi Pranadana, so I can't do it as he did it anyways. But we're primarily followers of the Pancharatrika system. In the Pancharatrika system, the process of initiation is our Harinam Diksha. You don't find that in the Vedic system or the Vaidika system. It is part of the Pancharatrika system. That's initiation into the chanting of the holy name, Harinam Diksha. And we have our procedures for that initiation process, Harinam Diksha. Following Harinam Diksha, however, is the Vaidika process of receiving Gayatri Mantra, following the Vaidika system. The mantras and the system itself is part of the Vaidika system. Maybe I should go back and explain. There is a distinction between the two. Because what's being described here is the Vaidika system, where the wife, it's, you know, the gradual progression as the wife becomes attached to the husband, she attains the status of the husband. So if the husband, there's the anulom and pratilom kind of marriage. You know that distinction from where the husband is of a higher status, he may choose or become married to a woman of a status that is less than his status. Just like Maharaj Santanu wanted to marry the daughter of a fisherman, Satyavati. That's permitted. But not the other way around. So the one where it's permitted is, and so the wife attains the status of the husband. Satyavati became a queen. The wife of the husband, or the wife of the king. But then the other kind is the kind of marriage like the father of Suta Goswami was the disciple of Vyasadeva, who was placed in charge of the Puranas, and his name was Romaharshan. Thank you. Romaharshan, his mother was a Brahmani. She married a husband who was of a lesser status, the kind that in Vedic systems doesn't happen. or is not to happen, but it happened. But because Rama Maharshan was so qualified, he was accepted as a Brahmana. But when Rama Maharshan made his little boo-boo, he was speaking the Puranas, and in the assembly came Lord Balaram. You know this from the Krishna book or the 10th canto. Balaram came into the assembly, and everyone offered their respects to Balaram. They rose from their seats and offered their obeisances before Lord Balaram, except for one person, Rama Maharshan, because he was considering, I'm speaking the scriptures, the writings of Vyasadeva. And when one is speaking the scriptures from Vyasadeva, one should not disrespect Vyasadeva and the scripture and not take one's attention away by paying obeisances to anybody. And that may be the case except for one person, the person who the Vedas are directly glorifying, the personality of Godhead. So because of that inconsistency in Vaishnava Achar or Brahmana Achar, Balaram kusagrassed him. He took one blade of grass and pierced his heart, and right on the Vyasasan, Rama Maharshan expired. Must have been a bloody mess right there in the assembly. So the Bhagavatam describes at that point, then the discussion went about his past, his background, because his background was from this analome instead of a pratilome marriage. So the Vedic system is the wife attains the status of the husband. So the wife, part of the chastity of the wife is to look up with great regard and reverence and attachment and chastity and faithfulness to her husband. By those qualities of the wife, she attains the qualities of the husband. And then the destination of the husband becomes the destination of the wife. So one needs a good husband. This is a comment on from Srila Prabhupada on the women's liberation movement. You know, women wishing equal rights. Prabhupada didn't like it, but he also put the blame on the men, not the blame on the women. He said, naturally, when their men are not qualified, then why should they take shelter of unqualified men? And therefore they want this women's equal rights program. So the men should be qualified, because the men aren't qualified. Women are doing this, so men become qualified. That was one of the statements that Srila Prabhupada made on that issue. So, in the Karma Kanda section of the Vedas, this gradual Vaidika system of gradually, birth after birth after birth after birth after birth after finally coming to the position of a Brahmana, one may study the Vedas. Of course, then you have to be a male Brahmana to study the Vedas. And then if you're the wife of a male Brahmana, then the male Brahmana teaches his wife the Vedas. That's how the wife has access to the Vedas. Otherwise, there's no access. That's the Vaidika system. The wife attains the status of the husband, and so on, going down and down and down the ladder to come to the position where one is even qualified to study the Vedas. Then we have the Panchatrika system, because in this age of Kali, Kalo Sudra Sambhavan, where are the qualified Brahmanas? And therefore, the sacrifice of the procedure of Vedic sacrifice is not recommended. It's not effective. That's why it's not recommended. Because persons aren't qualified. So what do you do? How to deal with that situation? In that situation, the Panchatantrika system prevails. That Panchatantrika system doesn't look at prior qualification. The Panchatantrika system looks at this procedure of Nam Sankirtan, or hearing Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Regardless of your past, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, and anyone can be engaged. Children can be engaged in Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, and anyone can be engaged. Anyone can be engaged. Prior qualification, disqualification, it's not taken. Your education, your birth, your gender, your color, you can be purple, green, pink, doesn't matter. Just be a spirit soul. And engage in the process of Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. That's the Panchatantrika system. And corresponding with that hearing and chanting process, then there's a Panchatantrika system of Diksha. And similarly, there's a Panchatantrika system of making persons unqualified qualified. And that qualification is to bring them to the brahminical status, and the brahminical status taking brahminical initiation and performing deity worship. And there's verses in Rupa Goswami's teachings in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu where the person who is duly qualified by Panchatantrika initiation can perform Vedic sacrifices. Now we'll go over to the Vaidika system. Who can do Vedic sacrifices? Only qualified brahmanas. And how does one become qualified brahmana? Lifetime after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. And then you become a brahmana. Then you become a qualified brahmana. Then you can form the yajnas of Vedic sacrifice. And there's this Panchatantrika system over here that the Brahmin-born persons don't like at all, although it's Vedic. It, like, you know, cuts into their franchise, their monopoly on Vedic sacrifices, where one doesn't require that birth after birth after lifetime after lifetime. And those persons look at the background, the prior lives of the Panchatantrika system participants, and say, look at their past. But according to the Panchatantrika, according to our devotional scriptures, that's an offense. That's a big offense to look at the person in terms of their birth or their past. Just like what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did with Jagai and Madhai. With Jagai and Madhai, after he had accepted them as Vaishnavas, very sternly, it's in Chaitanya Bhagavat, very sternly, he not just cautioned, he ordered his followers, do not consider them in terms of their past activity, which was abominable, and everybody knew it was totally abominable. If you consider them in terms of their past activity, this is a big offense. Don't make this mistake. Everyone was, okay, we won't make that mistake. Then this is very important. He then turned to Jagai and Madhai and said, don't repeat your past mistakes. Never again perform these abominable activities. This is my request. Which is the very same thing in principle that happens at the time of initiation. What are the four principles that one will refrain from? These four things. I will not do these four things again. Same thing as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did with Jagai and Madhai. And once again, he instructed his followers, the Vaishnavas, don't regard them in terms of their past. So the trajectory of those who are following this Panchatantrika system is one thing. The aim is back to Godhead. Just read that description according to Jiva Goswami yesterday evening. Jiva Goswami's description is that the objective of all of the Vedas is back to Godhead. So that's the Pancharatrika system, is taking one by the process of hearing and chanting about Krishna into a cleansed condition. Chito darpana marjanam. Cleanse the mirror of the heart, which is the resting place of so many desires and longings. We read yesterday, Manorata, the chariot of the mind that's filled with desires and longings. Living entities are hankering for so many things in fruitive enjoyment. The process of hearing and chanting cleanses all of that away. Gone. Clean. Squeaky clean. Completely clean. The process of bhakti is so powerful that when properly followed, I'll say it slowly, it uproots even the root of the desire for such things. Not just like, you know, controls your tendencies. That's in the regulative platform, it's helping us to curb or control our tendencies. But in the Vaikuntha realm, that tendency is gone. Gone. And that's what is being described here. The destination of Prithu Maharaj and his faithful wife, Archie, was they attained Vaikuntha. He attained Vaikuntha, she attained Vaikuntha. And they were functioning as husband and wife in Vaikuntha with no attraction for mundane pleasures as exists between husband and wife. So that status can be attained when the husband and wife are duly qualified by the Pancharatrika system, which we're taking part in. The process of, or Bhagavat Marg, the process of hearing and chanting. Just like we've been doing all morning. And we do every morning. And evening too. And as much as we can throughout the day. Hearing and chanting about Krishna. Worshipping the deity form. So, a couple of things I'd like to add. One is, where does this notion of Pitraloka and Pitaloka come from? The answer is, you can't have something in this material world that doesn't have its spiritual counterpart. Yes? As above, so below. If it's not above, it doesn't exist below. Or if it exists below, it exists above. It exists in a purified state. It exists in a purified state where there's no material contamination. Is that wishful thinking? A place where there's no material contamination? Some people think so. In discussions that I've had with, this past month, in college students, as idealistic as they are, they're also, you know, they take this realistically, that ain't going to happen. You know, no material attraction. So, with being realistic, it's, you know, how to put together material attraction and get something spiritual out of it. Because of their fertile brains trying to come up with something like that. There's a lot of that that goes on. So even when there's sincere spiritual aspirants, but the Bhagavatam is uncompromising, as we know. There's so many things in the Vedas that Vyasa had written that give allowance for material enjoyment in a regulated way. And material enjoyment in a regulated way is a dovetail. It's part of our process also. But actually, the goal is to become free altogether. Because it's on this topic, I'm going to share, without mentioning any names, some discussion between a husband and wife, where the wife was saying to the husband, and it was causing some friction in the family, you know, other religions, there's so many religions, they don't say anything bad about sex. Some religions say it's good. You know, have lots of children. Make a God-conscious family, have lots of children. When I was growing up, the Catholic Church was really big on, in the Islamic faith, it's really big on have lots of children. It's how we're going to take over the world. Just have lots of children. Lots of children. Encourage lots of children. And there's ways to have lots of children. Lots of sex. You have lots of children. So, you know, here's this, the wife was saying to the husband, you know, there's this strict principle. And, you know, why? And it was causing a problem in their relationship, husband and wife. So, you know, they didn't want to bother their Guru Maharaj about this topic, but it got to the point where it was, you know, causing such a problem in their relationship, it came to me. So we had a, you know, very frank discussion about why Srila Prabhupada places this standard. And the reason is, he's giving us an opportunity to go back to Godhead. You know, the Hare Krishna movement or anything in the marketplace, spiritual marketplace, would be far more popular if you just opened that door and said, no restriction, or a little restriction. But the standard is really clear. I mean, Prabhupada was a householder, so he knew, you know, graphic details about the procedures to follow for the regular principles. Why he gave it is because it's right in the Bhagavatam. And he didn't compromise. He wanted to give us the passage back to Godhead. There's one purport, Canto 2, Chapter 7, one purport, where Prabhupada explicitly says, there's no question. He says it strongly twice. There's no question of spiritual progress. What to speak of going back to Godhead unless this principle is understood and received. I'll say it again. There's no question of spiritual progress. What to speak of going back to Godhead if this principle is not understood and observed? Prabhupada wanted us to make spiritual progress. He didn't just want lots of followers. He wanted us to go back to Godhead. At least, here's the ticket, whether you use it or not. Here's the ticket. Take it. Just like Mahaprabhu. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gora Trishenama. He was freely giving what no others even had offered before. Krishna Prema, please take it. But I'm not qualified. Doesn't matter. Please take it. But I have other desires. Please take it. How merciful. And Prabhupada, following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, very mercifully was giving us that ticket. But it's not, one can't receive it if you're holding on to something else. Very, very simple demonstration. In my hand, my right hand here, I'm holding a pair of cartels. And if I want to have a throat lozenge over here by my knee, and if I want that throat lozenge, I can't get it with like the cartel still in my hand. I have to let go, and then I can take the throat lozenge. Similarly, this is Prabhupada's example. When you're holding on to something, you can't at the same time take another something. If you're holding on to desires for material enjoyment, it's incompatible with taking the gift of your ticket back to Godhead.
You have to let go. You have to let go.
I'll share with you a little experience that just illustrates this. It's anecdotal, but it should be very clear. We had like a little retreat, a mini retreat with some families in a place where they have no temple. And it was a nice experience. You know, 30-something families got together. It was off in a park where they had like a cabin where we could get together in case it rained. And it rained, so we were inside the cabin. And just devotional activities all day long. And for that group of families, it was really meaningful to just go off in the forest, because it was like a state park. It was very peaceful. Their cell phones wouldn't even work because it was so far away. So at the end of that day, someone came forward who I don't know the person, but he's been practicing. So he explained, I'm kind of new to Krishna consciousness, but I really like how it's affecting me and my wife and my children. I see change in myself. I see change in my family. My kids are more peaceful. They're less restless. Their behavior is so much better. I really like Krishna consciousness. That's great. But there's always a but. I'm at a place right now where my whole life has been a preparation for career climbing the ladder of my career. And I'm right now being offered a job where I would make X number of dollars. I can even tell you, it's $125,000. I don't know what that is in rupees, but you know, it's like, you know, his career goal is now being offered to him. But I know if I do that, I'll have to not do as much of the devotional activities as I would like to do. And I see how it's benefiting myself and my family. And alternatively, if I don't do that, I would earn something, you know, 2/3 to a half. And both our jobs are secure. And I could do the discretionary things, the devotional things that I'd like to do. Can I get your advice? Now, I don't know the person. So I said, I can't give advice to somebody without knowing you so well, because I'm sure there's lots of factors. But the very way that you're bringing this to my attention, I think you know the answer already. Otherwise, you wouldn't even bother asking. You know the answer. What's the answer? Yeah, I know the answer. But the real issue is, I guess I just have to let go. And he just then repeated it. I guess I have to let go. But, you know, when you're attached to something, his whole life has been to get this up to the top of the mountain, and he's about to hit the top of the mountain. And he's going to say, no, I think I should go back down to, you know, somewhere over here. But it's not exactly down. It's further than that little mountain that he had picked, to a much higher attainment. But you can't take shelter of that higher attainment as long as you're holding on to some material attachments. And guess what the number one attachment on the hit parade of material attachments is in the material world, in all species of life? You guessed it. I'll read what Prabhupada says in the purport to underscore. One who is advanced in devotional service is never attracted by sex life. And as soon as one becomes detached from sex life and proportionally attached to the service of the Lord, he actually experiences living in the Vaikuntha planets. That means, like, you know, back to Godhead means now. It's not a place, it's a consciousness. One can experience one's relationship with Krishna now. It's not a promise of hereafter you'll go to a good place. You go to heaven or some nice place. It's consciousness that you can experience now. So that is the test of advancement in devotional service. Letting go. But you can't let go unless there's this faith. So it's how you progress on the path of spiritual life. You need the association of, like Archie had the association of Prithu Maharaj. One needs the association of someone who's qualified. And through that attachment, one can come to that place where one lets go. Like we were speaking last night about same principle about chanting, japa. We all chant the holy name, I'm presuming. We all do some japa, if not, you know, 16 rounds. We do some japa, everybody here. And we all understand something about the value of the holy name. And then our real position presently is down here. What we know is here, and where we're at is down here. And there's this gap. So how do you close the gap? Well, part of it is letting go. And if you don't let go, your mind is going to be on those things you don't want to let go of instead of the holy name. So there's a faith issue. You've heard this phrase, perhaps, leap of faith. Leap of faith. Well, how about a step of faith? It's not, you know, blind, close your eyes, and there's this big, you know, ravine with sharp rocks down underneath, and you're supposed to jump from this side to that side. Not close your eyes and jump, and then you go crashing down into the ravine. You just take a step. Of faith, or with faith, in understanding what the holy name is, or what this message of Srimad Bhagavatam is, what the going back home, back to Godhead is, what that gift that Srila Prabhupada and our entire assembly of Vaishnava Acharyas want to give us and have given us. Here it is, please take it. So, those things that we're holding on to, some of those things we have to let go. But like Arjuna, it's right in Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna says, what happened? Reach the destination. You let go of this, but you didn't attain that. Aren't you in no position anywhere? You don't have this, you don't have that. You're nobody. Like a riven cloud. Lost. And Krishna says, no, not like that at all. Whatever progress you make, it's eternal. It's never lost. This is faith. Is there a realm of eternal? Is there a realm of purity? I was having this discussion with students in America. It's like, I'm not sure. I'm idealistic, but I'm not sure. Well, when you're not sure, you can't let go. So take a step. That which really resonates, do that. Chant. Worship the deity. Hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Associate with the devotees. Take prasadam. Hey, take prasadam. And then the gap between what we know and where we're at closes. And when you take a step towards Krishna, the realization is, the fact is, and you get some realization, Krishna takes so many steps towards you. That's the Pancharatrika system. So, the Bhagavatam is providing us with that. We don't need this Pita Loka or Pitri Loka or Svarga Loka. We need shelter in Krishna. And if we take shelter in those who have taken shelter in Krishna, we'll go to that place. Just become attached to those personalities who are going back to Godhead. And we go back, we develop the qualities of those with whom we associate. That's Krishna's words. I forget where this came, but, oh, yeah. Some, you know, American fellow, like, you know, a general in the American army was speaking like this. You develop the qualities of those with whom you associate. It's true. It's true materially. It's true spiritually. It's true. Take careful association of those who have qualification. And the message of the Bhagavatam is providing us with that association through sound. Receive it. To receive it fully, you have to let go of, at least in increments, our attachments, and consistently, persistently let go, take shelter. And that's the path back to God. It is a gradual process of these two things. Letting go of our material attachments and placing in their stead the spiritual attachment, the attachment to Krishna's service. Hare Krishna. So I'll stop and see if we have some discussion this morning. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Maharaj, it is said that one should worship Krishna with single-pointed devotion.
One should worship Krishna with what kind of devotion?
Single-pointed devotion.
Single-pointed, okay.
So, should a wife be attached to the service of her husband?
Yes.
Or to the service of Krishna?
Service to Krishna includes service to husband.
How do we...
Right? And then let's say, you know, service to children and service to the community and service to whatever the other services are. As a service unto Krishna. Who is to be pleased in that attachment to one's husband? Krishna is to be pleased. And when Krishna is pleased, one goes to Krishna. That's our standard. Now, what should the husband be attached to? It's not that the husband should be, detached from his wife, and you know, in the absolute sense, not in his. If the husband is, I don't care about you, honey. What's that? But if it's, you know, on the spiritual platform, it's service to Krishna. And then there's deep caring as service to Krishna. It's the duty of the husband to see that the wife goes back to Godhead. That's a spiritual attachment for the pleasure of Krishna, is a service unto Krishna. And then you just expand that in all the other relationships and duties that we have. That's Krishna conscious household life. And let me read specifically what Prabhupada... There's two things that he says here about... in the Vaikuntha planets... There are husbands and wives. In the Vaikuntha planets, both husbands and wives are extraordinarily beautiful, and they are attracted to one another. It's approved. Authorized. But they're not attached to the material principle of enjoying the facilities of being husband and wife together, because they're so absorbed in service to Krishna together. That's Vaikuntha, household life. Does that help? Okay. Back here. Mataji, you've got the microphone, so go ahead. You have a question? Please.
Maharaj, you are explaining that in order to take the holy name, we will have to let go of certain things.
They're banging the pots in the kitchen, which are louder than your voice. Say it again.
You were explaining that in order to take the holy name, we will have to let go certain things.
Yes.
But many a times it happens that we don't know what we are holding on to.
Ah. Well, you know, I can make two suggestions. Sit down with your bead bag and watch where your mind goes while you chant the holy name. And that will tell you something about what you're attached to. And another is, ask your spouse or your best friend or your mentor. And they'll tell you. You know, accountability. Our best friends will tell us, not, you know, in a condemning or judgmental way, but they'll tell us what it is that we're attached to. But part of the problem of attachment is we're attached. We don't want to hear it. We like our attachments. We're attached to our attachments. And so it's hard to hear. But if there, the sincerity is in the heart, we'll want to go beyond those attachments, and then Krishna will give us, those are two very practical means of understanding what our attachments are. The lesser problem is understanding what our attachments are. The greater problem is letting go. Like this man, he knew exactly what he should do and what value would come from doing it. He knew. And he is not just a pious man. He's an intelligent man. He can understand. This is benefiting me. He was describing how it is benefiting him. I feel less anger and less greed, but there's still some greed. No, he knew what his attachment was. Here's another principle. Read Srimad Bhagavatam very carefully. The light of the Bhagavatam will show you where your attachments are. If we read in a receiving mode, it'll practically just like close your eyes, open the book, okay, that's the page, and start reading. Let the light shine in your heart and it'll be very clear where your attachments are. Try it. Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita are like that. It's uncanny. Somebody was sharing with me recently. They've been practicing Krishna consciousness for a number of years, and I value them as very sincere devotees. After X number of years, 10 or 12 number of years, they now have, unlike before, through reading the Bhagavatam very carefully, they have a very clear sense of where their attachments are that they didn't have before, although it was being pointed out to them by circumstance and by their, others. From the reading of Bhagavatam, it became very clear. Now the next is letting go. Anything?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Bol.
When we know what our attachments are,
yeah,
But how do we know how to get rid of them?
Did you hear our class yesterday?
No, Maharaj.
We'll do a little... Don't hold the microphone again. The short answer is through instructions, through guidance. What the verse that we read yesterday morning had quote from the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, where this nice metaphor of a strong boat to cross over the ocean and fresh breezes, favorable breezes, to fill the sails so the boat can fly forward, and careful handling of the sails to catch the full force of the favorable breezes. So the boat is devotional service, or this human form of life engaged in devotional service. The favorable breezes are the instructions of Krishna, and how the sails can catch those favorable breezes is the guidance of the spiritual master or those who are assisting the spiritual master to help us reach the other shore. The other shore of material existence is the spiritual world. So by proper guidance, that's the how-to. Yes. You don't need a microphone, I can tell. Hare Krishna. Send the microphone up. Go ahead. What?
Husbands.
Why is there not
naturally attached to the husbands?
Why is the wife not naturally attached to the husband? You have to ask the wives.
They have to do service to the husband with the mood of they are doing service for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. They are doing service to the husband with the mood that to please Guru and Krishna.
To please Lord Krishna. That's Krishna consciousness.
That is Krishna consciousness.
That's generally not what goes on.
It is very easy.
It's very easy.
To develop. It is very easy to advance them if they develop the mood that they are developing the mood to service to Guru and Krishna.
Yeah.
They will advance like anything.
Yeah.
But if the husbands are not advanced like that,
I hope you ladies heard that pearl of wisdom. If only the husbands were more advanced, then it would be very easy. And that's exactly what Prabhupada said. If there's a qualified husband, it's very easy. And when there's not a qualified husband, it's not so easy. So the real responsibility in giving leadership to the family is with the husband. The husband needs to be very qualified. So we propose, please, become qualified. Then it'll be very easy. Very easy. And that primary qualification is complete attachment to Krishna. And no attachment to sense gratification. Or this idea that, hey, I'm the husband, you're supposed to follow me, what's wrong with you? That kind of thing. It goes on. It's true. But, you know, the husband should be qualified, then the wife will naturally follow. Yeah.
One more question.
You already did it.
Maharaj, when we are hearing the pastimes of Acharyas...
When we're doing what?
Hearing the pastimes of Acharyas...
Hearing the pastimes of Acharyas...
We will be very happy.
We will be very happy.
But when... Yesterday we did a class on Krishna, but we are not feeling that much happiness.
But what... You speak so fast I can't understand what you're saying. Speak slowly and clearly. But when we're hearing the pastimes of Krishna,
hearing of the pastimes of Krishna, you will not feel such happiness. Like
why Krishna. Not?
I don't know why I'm asking.
Let me have that microphone. If you like pastimes of the Acharyas, listen to pastimes of the Acharyas. If that brings you great happiness, experience that great happiness by hearing the pastimes of the Acharyas. And you know what? That will grow. It will increase your attraction for the pastimes of Krishna. If we don't have attraction for the pastimes of Krishna, one of the reasons may be the very same reason that we're in this material world. Why are we in this material world? We have an attitude towards Krishna. We have an attitude. You know what that means? Bad attitude. Like, I got an issue with you, Krishna. You understand what I'm saying? No. Dvesha. Icha dvesha samutena dvandva mohina bharata. We have dvesha towards Krishna. So when we hear the pastimes of Krishna, we can't relish them in the same way. All right? So here are the pastimes of the Acharyas. That's very nice. Last question, one very enthusiastic devotee wants a question. Last question, no more.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
It's time to end. Go ahead. Go ahead.
How to overcome the attachment to one's own opinion?
How to overcome the attachment to one's own happiness?
One's own opinion.
One's own opinion.
How to overcome it?
How to overcome the attachment to one's own opinion?
This one.
Okay. Have the microphone. Thank you. The attachment to one's own opinion is rooted in false ego. So how does one overcome false ego? Well, a gradual method is the method of purification. And that's the effective means when there's purification. But then there can be assistance to that means of purification. So what's our means of purification? Sadhana bhakti. But transcendental knowledge can assist that sadhana bhakti. Like, you know, the understanding of on what basis have I formed my opinion. So this is a pramana question. What is the means of knowing anything? Right? You're familiar with what I'm speaking about? Pramana. If you want to know something, what's the means of knowing that something? That's what pramana is. So sense perception. Our opinions may be formed by sense perception. I saw it. I experienced it. So therefore it's fact. That's my, you know, that I'm holding my opinion because I saw it. But my senses are defective. We're taking assistance of knowledge here. My senses are defective. Then my reasoning capacity, anuman, pratyaksha and anuman. I'm inferring by logic and reason. My opinion is based, I'm a very intelligent person and I know how to use logic and reason. My logic and reason tells me it's the sun has come up because I see sunlight. Although I haven't seen the sun, I'm inferring the sun has come up or something. I'm inferring something based on logic and reason. But logic and reason is also fallible. Someone may have stronger logic and reason and defeat my logic and reason and establish some other argument. So my opinion is not final because of these two reasons. But if I could receive knowledge from a perfect source, that's the best way. Let me form my opinion based upon descending knowledge. Now that's, we've agreed on that, but we may have differences of opinion on things until we're purified and then we have one opinion. So purification is necessary, ultimately, to reduce the pride in one's own opinion or attachment to one's own opinion. Purification, purity is the final solution. And purity will come through association with the Supreme Pure, or those who are attached to the Supreme Pure, like our great Acharyas.